This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:10, this time tomorrow, we're going to be talking about wait till next year or Game 7. How you feeling?
I think we'll be talking about Game 7.
Cubs have nothing to lose.
Well, they do.
No, they don't. Not at this point. Nobody expected them to be, you get down 3-1. They can be loose tonight. They can treat it like it just doesn't matter.
I don't see them treating it that way, Steve. I really don't.
I hope they do. I hope they just go out and play baseball.
Oh, I think they will. I mean, I think they will go out and have fun.
So, that's the only thing going on. The election's over. There's no reason to talk about it.
Wait, what?
No, okay, it's a week away.
Wait, I feel like Genie. Like, blink twice. Oh, yeah. Back to reality.
There is election stuff to talk about. I'd rather not, but there is. There's Hawks tickets to give away. Kevin Powell covering the Cubs. Coach Q later on the Hawks. And Mark Carmen's also in Cleveland because apparently you owed LeBron money or something.
Yeah.
And the Bears won.
Did you watch the
I watched
whole game.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
They look good.
They
look good, and the Vikings look terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. The Vikings suddenly really stink.
Yeah, they do.
The last 2 weeks.
You know, it's funny, though, when the Bears play at home, of course, you know, there's all the traffic and the parking, and it was a night game. I understand that. But I forgot until I was coming home from taking the kids trick-or-treating. I went, oh, yeah, there's a Bears game tonight.
Yeah, there was never less buzz about a Bears game than there was last night. But now they're hot. They're the hottest team in the NFL. Break them up.
And now they don't play for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Shut them down. When's the next game? Thanksgiving?
It's a week from Sunday. No, they won't play at home again till Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
They play at Tampa Bay after the bye week.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe so taking November off.
Pretty well from here, anyway. Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to that game. I hear tickets are pretty easy to come by now.
Not now.
Yeah, they're
before
hot.
Last night. Yeah. Now they're hot.
Yeah.
At 612, phone number and text number 312-981-7200. It's show number 767. It's November 1st. Please date your checks to the show accordingly. I assume you're paying for this. Thanks to everybody that showed up yesterday for the big Jimmy DeCastro combo Halloween party and get out of the building. Yesterday was Jimmy's last day, and he'll be around.
He will.
Yeah.
He will. It was a fun party. We had a band and everything.
Dancing. It was crazy.
I have a feeling he'll come back today. just kidding.
Psych.
I mean, why would you give up that kind of parking in downtown Chicago? He parks right outside the door in the Tribune Tower.
Who got his spot?
True.
You know, I hadn't thought about that until I just brought that up. Who did get a spot?
Wow. We got to find out.
I think there probably should be some lobbying going on, Steve.
Yeah.
I mean,
lobbying as in I'm just going to take it?
Me, you could.
Yeah.
Is that the one you have to, like, hop off the wall, though, to get to the car?
Why don't you walk up to a ramp? I think it's doable, Grandma.
You're not allowed
to hop up the wall.
You're the one that's flexible on this show.
It's not an obstacle course, is it?
No, it's totally fine. Which is it?
Well, you're not allowed to hop off the loading dock.
What
you're
do
not
you mean?
Supposed to. We used to get admonished when we jumped off the dock. The security.
Yeah, there's a loading dock below the Tribune Tower where the parking is. That's where the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live, and that's what it's not the best neighborhood, but it's our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And there used to be a little like. Somebody tell me Bob Collins. There's a video of Bob Collins trying to climb up. There was like a cinching hook.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Right.
And there's a hook that you could grab to climb up. And Bob was a bigger fella. And he tried to grab the hook and pull himself up, and he fell backwards on his butt.
Oh no.
I never saw that.
Back in the day, it was somewhat easy to kind of hop off the loading dock. I wouldn't even try it now.
I don't see a no hopping sign there.
No, there's no sign, but I don't think they enforce
security
it
anymore. They'll fire a warning shot over your head.
They used to. You'd get a note in your personal file.
There'd be a flare.
What?
Yeah. They'd shoot a flare.
Rates you up for hopping off a loading deck.
Dave apparently must have got one.
Yeah.
I was
troublemaker.
Got a hopping warning.
I've never done it again.
Kid of the Week later this hour, and as I said, we got everything covered in sports, as always here, and glad you're here at 6:15. Mary's back with your traffic trouble spots, and you got to do a review of a little dancing show later, too, huh?
Yeah, man. I'm up late watching these shows and the Bears. I need a rest.
But there's one guy on Kian's Cochran Show. And what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night. Did Julio
He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
All right, good morning. Nick Texter says, predictions for the rest of 2016. The Cubs will win the World Series with two consecutive no-hitters. The Bears will win out the rest of the season. And Joe Biden will win the presidency with a write-in vote. The future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. I like that guy. He's drunk. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hey, I'm okay. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
Good, sir.
Tom Hanks' movie made no money, like $8. Like, one guy went to an $8 theater and saw the movie, apparently.
It was a terrible opening. It only made $14.8 million.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
To put that into perspective, the first one in the series, The Da Vinci Code, made close to $80 million on its opening weekend.
So we're tired of Dan Brown and his cute little Vatican stories.
I think so. The second one dropped, but it still opened at $45
million. Right. I'm gonna say we got a trend here. 80, 40, 14.
Yeah,
I don't think we make another one.
No, I don't think so either. And I'll tell you what, the real story of the box office is that, I mean, this year, this has been a constant thing that we've talked about on every Tuesday morning when I'm with you, Steve. It's just been a remarkably bad year at the box office.
Wouldn't you think with this election people would be going to the movies to escape?
Absolutely, you would think. I don't know. I really don't understand, but most of the things that everybody thought were going to be box office smashes weren't. Some movies are doing well, but you know, think about this damn Madea movie, this Tyler Perry thing.
Yeah,
in 2 weeks has made $52 million. It beat a Tom Cruise movie last week and a Tom Hanks movie this week.
Maybe it's guys named Tom.
I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Possible.
So I don't know, but it's been a weak year. Little movies here and there, like the Sully is one of the certified hits in terms of big stars, big directors.
Well, there's a Tom Hanks movie that worked. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like stuff like little things like this Ouija board movie is doing terrific. They spent $14 million on it. It's made like $50 million already.
What's the Ouija board movie?
It's a horror movie. It's actually a pretty creepy film. It came out a couple of weeks ago in time for Halloween. It's called Ouija Origin of Evil. And it only cost, I mean, it cost nothing to make. And there are no stars in it.
Starring Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That might be box office poison.
All right, what's in the Valley of Violence?
In the Valley of Violence, I wanted to mention this movie because it's very original and it's really wonderful. And it's playing at the Music Box Theater, but you can get it on video on demand if you don't want to go out, if you can't make it to the Music Box. But I highly recommend it. It's a Western. Ethan Hawke plays this cowboy who's out on the range with his dog, which, by the way, is the greatest dog actor I've ever seen in a movie in my life.
Well, we like Ethan Hawke. He's a friend of the show. What's the story with the dog? Is the dog new? Well, is this a breakout performance for the dog?
Well, the dog is played by a dog named Jumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, you can look up Jumpy the dog on YouTube and see this dog do amazing, unbelievable tricks. He acts. It's astonishing. So he and his dog are out on the range, and they decide they're going to cut through this small town in a valley to get through, and they get there, and then they run into trouble with these idiots, one tough guy in particular who wants to fight him, and then Ethan Hawke embarrasses him by just punching him a couple of times in the face and knocking him out in front of his fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And so it turns out that this guy that he smacked around is also the son of the marshal of the town, played by John Travolta. And then the movie turns into this sort of revenge thing because a group of the guys go out and they beat up Ethan Hawke. They leave him for dead. They do some nasty stuff to his dog. And he decides to go back to town and just seek revenge.
I can't watch a movie where a dog is abused.
Yeah, well, it's not on screen.
Oh, okay.
You don't see it.
So the dog acts like he's abused.
Well, this dog, I'm telling you, best supporting actor at this point.
Okay.
I would vote for him for an Oscar. But anyway, so he goes back to town, and then he seeks revenge. Now, it's a simple story. The director of this movie is a guy named Ty West, and he has been known for, like, three or four really wonderful and really clever horror films, very low-budget horror films. This is his first foray into Western. And not only is it a terrific Western, but it's also really funny, like really, really funny. And it's basically, it boils down to this, a bunch of idiots with guns.
Does it intend to be funny?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's one of the best performances Travolta has given in years. He essentially plays sort of like the sympathetic villain of the piece, just trying to keep order in this town, and his son is an idiot. And it's just, and Ethan Hawke is terrific in it. It's beautifully made. It is a wholly original movie. It's, Magnificent Seven came out also with Ethan Hawke a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a solid Western. I liked it very much. This is like a wholly unique thing and one of the best Westerns I've seen in a while. And that's why I wanted to mention it. For people who like Westerns, this is a real treat. And it's available on video on demand, and you can stream it, I think, on Amazon, and it's also at the Music Box. But I just wanted to mention it because it's a really terrific film.
Do you know Travolta was at the Cubs game the other night?
Was he really?
Yeah. I think it was Saturday. It may have been Sunday. No, it was Sunday. It was Sunday night. Travolta was at the Cubs game Sunday night.
He was?
Well,
that's pretty cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know what he was doing.
Is he a Cub fan or just filming?
I don't know if he's shooting something in town.
Yeah. You know what I found out this morning on my show, Steve?
I do not know.
Do you know who they're going to have in Cleveland tonight, who evidently loves all things Cleveland, and I had no idea about this?
Tom Hanks.
Until I heard about it on my show. No, I know. Yeah, Tom Hanks, yeah.
Drew Carey?
But no, we know that one already.
LeBron James?
Charlize Theron.
What?
Yeah, she's South African, and suddenly, she loves everything Cleveland, and I guess she's going to be at the game tonight.
See, Steve, you said nothing good could come of her dating Sean Penn.
That's a little weird. I don't get that at all. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't get it. I mean, she's Furiosa in Mad Max. She's got no business liking the Indian.
A rift.
This is a good excuse for Nick to watch Mad Max again.
What do you think I'm going to do when I hang up the phone with you?
Godfather, Saturday, November 19th at the Movie Code. The big screen, the Godfather movie, the one that started it all, the one that led to the greatest sequel of all time and the worst third edition of all time. but you got to see it on the big screen. I have every intention to join you on that November 19th, starting at what time?
7 o'clock it starts, but we've got, if you want to partake, we're doing a special Italian dinner beforehand at Bogart's in the restaurant, and you can, that's a separate part. You can have an Italian dinner, and if I'm not mistaken, for those of you who partake in the alcoholic beverages, I believe they will be serving Coppola wine.
Oh, very nice. All right. Well, you'll double check on that, I'm sure.
I will.
Sandberg just ran in here. What are you so excited about?
My husband drinks a lot of that Coppola wine every night.
I mean, since you were married?
Really?
Yeah. But I thought we were all going to my stepdaughter's performance in Annie.
Oh.
What time is that?
There's a 12:30 show and a 4:30 show.
Yeah, 4:30 is fine. Yeah, 4:30 is fine. I think a child performance of Nanny followed by the ultra-violent Godfather is perfect.
There we go. Okay.
Because
there are,
you guys can work that out. You guys can go to both of those things.
Show field trip.
Doable. The movie doesn't start till 7.
We can rent a party bus.
Oh, there we go.
And go
hit
from
up
there.
Annie.
Yeah, I know. Snacks on the bus.
One of Catherine's roles is she plays. What's the nice way to say a lady of the night?
Hooker.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's a child.
An escort. Yeah, she's an escort. Yes, and she said the costume is a little. You know, she said it looks
risque.
Like she said it looks like teenage girls' Halloween costumes. That's what she said.
Oh, good. Oh, she got the right take on it. Yeah. That's good. 2 years from now, you're going to be wishing she said that.
Yeah, and by the way, I think the actual term that you were thinking of was Lady of the Night.
Yeah, I think I didn't know if I could say the other word, so Cochran said it. But.
Hooker.
Yeah.
All right, man. Go to bed or watch whatever you're watching.
You got it, my friend.
See ya. That's Nick DiGilio, and at 6:29, let's take a break, come back, get your big story in a moment. Kid of the Week coming up. The Steve Cochran Show. You're invited to text anytime. Here's what I'd like the text or question to be today. What's your October surprise? Make one up. What's the October surprise you'd like to see happen? Okay? Best October surprise between now. I know it's November 1st.
Wait, yeah. It's
best.
Rabbit. Oh,
election's not over. Best October surprise that we haven't heard yet. right?
Oh, that we haven't heard yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
You're pregnant
the one
or
you're going to make up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Between now and 10 o'clock, we got some prizes to give away. 312-981-7200 is the texter number and a phone number as well. And we're back after this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:43, Kid of the Week every week gives you an opportunity to hear good news about good kids doing good things, and why not? We have prizes for the Kid of the Week, but more importantly, at the end of the year, we're going to pick a Kid of the Year. And that Kid of the Year is going to get $5,000 from Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. Dave Ennett and Mary Vandeveld have been meeting secretly about this for some time now as they go over each week's winner. And we narrow it down.
Wear our costumes when we do it.
Oh, Dave, I did not know that.
Yes, Barney and Betty.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Our husband and wife power couple.
Just yesterday, and I felt badly for Dave for this, because Dave tried to give Betty a smooch.
I saw that, yeah.
And Betty acted like it was Donald Trump on a bus with Billy Bush. What was that?
I thought he was smelling
my hair. Why are you sniffing my hair?
I didn't know what he was doing.
And then my wife saw the picture on Facebook, and I said we were in character.
Uh-huh. Is that what they call it now?
You know, the love scenes at work always get you in trouble.
I should have slapped him.
Go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week any week. And again, thanks to Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. That's Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See the full inventory at RayandRaymondDeals.com. Let me go to the phone where Quentin's standing by. And good morning, Quentin. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. How old are you, man?
11.
Yeah, how's things?
Good.
Did you dress up for Halloween?
Yeah.
What'd you wear?
A Moor suit.
A what suit?
A Moor suit.
What is that?
It's like a suit that covers up your whole body.
So I couldn't see your face or anything?
No.
Is that like a superhero thing?
No, not really.
Well, what is it? What is a Morse? Dave, you know? Let me go to Dave on this.
I think tell me if this is correct. It's like one of those suits. You'll see a guy like in the stands at a basketball game wearing one.
Yeah, he's completely covered head to toe.
Completely covered up, yeah.
But what's the point of it?
Oh, it's kind of cool.
Oh, because it's cool. All right. Well, Quentin, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get some logic out of this. Doesn't make any sense, really, to ask for logic. You wore a cool suit, and I should just shut up about it. Did you get any cool candy?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Snickers.
Oh, you like the Snickers. You're a Snickers man. I'm a peanut butter and chocolate guy, dude. Do you like the peanut butter and the chocolate?
Oh, kind of.
Yeah, okay. All right, you're in sixth grade?
Yeah.
All right, what do you do for fun?
Sports.
Yeah? What do you play?
Basketball, baseball, and football.
Nice. What positions?
Pitcher, center, and quarterback.
Whoa, point man, baby. Cool. Right here. You must be a pretty good athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Pitcher.
Are you righty or lefty?
Righty.
Okay. You can make a lot of money being a pitcher.
Yeah.
Have a backup plan. Get a business education.
I was thinking about being a show host in the morning. It's not that hard.
He's singing you. Okay, he just went up to number
one. Way to go, Quentin.
Quentin's not lying. He's not lying. All right, let me tell you a little bit more about Quentin.
Maybe.
You know, I love Quentin. Quentin's great. Quentin has a cousin that deals with autism every day. His name's Nicholas. They're born about a month apart. And Quentin's like his big brother, and it's helped him every possible way. And for anybody that's got a family that's been touched by autism in any way, you know how much work is involved, but also you know the rewards involved. So tell me a little bit about your buddy, Nicholas.
Well, he has autism. He struggles
with what parts of the day?
All of it.
Okay. So when you help him out, what's the thing? What type of things might you do?
Go on the trampoline with him.
Cool.
Help him eat, go to his therapy.
And be his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Now, in you doing this, do your other buddies get it and understand kids who have difficulties more?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing, man. It's a good thing. Very proud of you. Even though you're mocking me, Quentin, I'm very proud of you. And I understand the school year is going pretty well so far.
Yeah.
Are you the cruise director? You're the guy that goes around introducing yourself to everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what do you think? How's the class this year? How's everybody?
Good.
Okay. You meet some new friends?
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the toughest things that goes on in school is if you're a new kid in school and you got nobody to sit with at lunch. So what are you doing about that?
Well, these new kids from Germany and California, so I let them sit with me.
Well, it's a good thing, man. It's a good thing. It means a lot. So kids don't wander around wishing they had a friend, right?
Yeah.
Quentin, you're all right. I can't smack you from here. You're too far away. Smack yourself.
No.
What's your best sport of the ones you mentioned?
Baseball.
All right, buddy. Cubs going to win tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Going to win tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Okay. You a hockey guy?
Kind of.
What do you mean, kind of? Get on board, man. It's the Blackhawks.
Well, I'm a fan. I just don't play.
Well, you don't have to play to like the sport.
Okay, then I like it.
All right. You shape up and fly right. I'll have you starting for the Hawks and skating with Patrick Kane by the end of the season.
Okay.
All right. You're all right, Quinn. You're a good young man, and we appreciate you being on. You hungry? Because I got Lou Malnati's pizza for you.
Yeah.
Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Get one of their 40 Chicagoland locations in your speed dial and do it today. Order online at loumalnati's.com. You got an app gift card. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com and tickets to the Volvo Auto Museum. What kind of car do you have, Quentin? You're a driver?
Yeah, an Acura RLX.
You take it out once in a while, do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Your conscience is yelling no. Hey, people know Volvo for their collection of Ford vintage cars that span the entire 1900s to the 70s. Get more information at volocars.com. Quentin, have a great day at school, bud. Thanks for being a great kid. Hold on. You are kid of the week. How about Quentin?
How cool is that?
How about Quentin giving it to me?
I like
that.
Right?
That's funny. I meant how cool is it that he had the kid sit with him at lunch, but it was cool that he kind of told you off, too.
Yeah,
he should do a stand-up routine with you. That would be funny.
Could be a talk show host. It's not that hard.
How great is that?
Ooh, I hate when he's right. Nice job, Quentin. It's 6:50. It's time now for your traffic trouble spots, and thanks again to Ray and Raymond Chevrolet for bringing us Kid of the Week. Text question all morning. By 10 o'clock, we'll unload a bunch of prizes from the Steve Cochran Prize Locker. What do we call it? Is it the prize closet? The prize list?
Maybe we should update it.
The prize hoo-ha? What is it? It's probably not the hoo-ha.
The prize trunk?
773, best October surprise. The Bears fire their coaching staff in Cutler. Replace them with the coaches in QB from Mount Carmel High School. It's a good team.
Mount Carmel?
Yeah. What did I say, Carmel?
Carmel. That's okay.
I was Carmel on the beach in my mind. Yeah. You know, it was Carmel last night. I had a $100,000 bar.
Oh, God.
By the way, I had no trick-or-treaters.
Neither did I.
And it said that, too.
Yeah.
I had a ton in my building.
So I brought some candy in if you'd like some.
Yeah, I think the $100,000 bar is probably good. It's almost swimsuit season.
I had 17.
I had nothing.
That's weird.
And the weird thing is, the neighborhood was swamped.
Yeah.
But they were all like on one row. There's like this circular drive that goes all the way around the neighborhood.
So they ignored your house.
Yeah, and we're on a street off this circular drive.
Oh, see. Did you put like lights up?
No. Or,
well, you got to put something up inviting
put
signs, the
kids in. Put like signs that says stay out.
Oh, well.
Keep off my
angry
lawn.
Old man lives here.
You know what they did in Oak Lawn? They have this Halloween parade, and it's for kids of all ages, and they go up and down Western Avenue, and all of the stores... All the stores participate, so that way they know everywhere they go they're going to get candy, as opposed to knocking on houses, no one's home, knocking on houses, no one's home.
You guys heard of Trunk-O-Ween?
Trunk or treat.
Yeah,
that's
a big
that's
deal.
A new thing now.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
You go in a parking lot and...
Trunk or treat. A lot of the churches...
So basically you take the exercise out of walking a mile to other houses and you just walk around a parking lot and get candy from trunks?
Right. Plus, like, people decorate these trunks with pumpkins and lights and, the Peanuts... The Halloween theme.
You say that's so funny. Plus, they decorate their trunks.
I'm going to haul this stuff to a parking lot and set it up in my car.
Parents have lost their minds.
Oh, it's fun.
We had only 13 trick-or-treaters, and one of a Yoda, like a four-year-old Yoda, he was down in our yard rolling around, his feet hurt, and he was like wailing, and it's like, somebody come get this Yoda.
He thinks my feet hurt.
There's a sentence you don't hear every day, somebody come get this Yoda.
It's curious to me, you guys, okay, Mary had 17, Sandberg had 13. Did you guys count, or do you?
We just had three doorbells.
Oh, I see.
Three times the doorbell hit, and the first one was three teenagers. And I made them say thank you, and I asked them about their costumes over and over again until it made them uncomfortable.
I have to say, every kid who came to my door was so polite.
Oh, good.
They were all polite. They said, Happy Halloween. Some were singing. I mean, it was really encouraging to see that these kids, well, their parents, of course, were standing on the sidewalk waiting for them, so I think that's why they were nice.
What were they singing?
I don't know.
Traditional Halloween carols.
Yeah, right. This is Halloween, Halloween.
They were singing like Christmas carols, only it was Halloween carols.
They did the mesh.
Yeah. Whatever. They just seem happy. Mesh.
Pat usually walks with his kids, and he didn't this year because they're older and they want to do their own thing. So he was there to hand out some candy, and we only had three doorbell rings as well. He got one of them. And he opened the door and he said trick or treat, and it threw everyone off. I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, the kid says trick or treat. You don't open the door and say trick or treat.
Honestly,
they just stared at him.
Television personalities are just not that bright. I mean, thank God he's pretty.
And he's like, is it okay that I told him to take a handful? Yeah, honey, we're good.
Well, if anyone needs, I don't know, say 50,000 pounds of candy, got a little left over. 574, my October surprises of the 50s come back and suddenly everything is perfect in America again. Wouldn't that be swell?
Oh,
there's
be
Fonzie.
Yeah.
Ralph Melf. October surprise, 815. My biggest October surprise would be that Alan Funt is going to come out of the grave and show us this election was just a bit.
What?
You don't know who Alan Funt is?
Yeah, I do.
Candid camera?
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, I didn't know who that was. Dave, but now I know that you said it.
Dave, are we old enough to be the only ones that know who Alan Funt is?
Possibly.
I knew.
I know the show.
When I printed out the text, I had to Google it.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
No idea. See, I was like, is this a misspelling?
Wow. Yeah.
Or...
See, us millennials, we're still trying to grasp the lingo.
815, October surprises. Chelsea Clinton gets Iran to surrender all nuclear weapons and settles a war in the Middle East. I think, you know what? Chelsea would be fine. It's fine.
Hey, you know what? Chelsea's fine.
Hey, if we let Chelsea and Ivanka
run
the country, would everybody be okay with that?
I'm okay with that. I think they're both brilliant. Well, maybe.
Well, we don't know they're not, but...
maybe it's a stretch.
We know their parents have issues. 224, October surprise, space aliens rescue us from our own stupidity and show us how humans ought to get along.
The Steve Cochran Show.
7-Eleven, you don't want to be the Cleveland Indians. And what, Steve? What are you talking about? They're up 3-2. They're home in Cleveland. Oh, yeah. You don't win tonight. Now it's game 7 against a team that frankly should have dominated you this entire way. Sure, you've played great. Sure, you've pitched well. Better than well. But you got to win tonight. Let's go live to Kevin in Cleveland. Kevin, all the pressure's on the Indians. All of it. Every bit of it.
Yeah, completely. And... you know, if the Cubs get this one, I think if you're a Cubs fan, if you're the Cubs, in some ways you almost have more confidence in Kyle Hendricks than Jake Arrieta. I mean, Arrieta's been good, but his command's been a little iffy. He can walk some batters. He hasn't been Jake Arrieta of last year. But when Arrieta's on, if he has his fastball command tonight, I still think when Arrieta's locating – and he's at his best. I think he's the best pitcher on this team. So if you get that Jake Arrieta, he's almost unhittable, and that's what the Cubs are hoping for tonight. But in terms of consistency, Kyle Hendricks is probably a more reliable pitcher than Jake Arrieta at this point. So if the Cubs get this one, the Indians should be worried, even though they have Corey Kluber lined up to go in Game 7.
Now, we know, and Dave will back me up on this, that the Indians are filled with communist sympathizers.
Yeah, it's been proven.
You know, and people that hate puppies and their grandmothers. Mm-hmm. But this is a good team. This is a good team. This is a team built on speed. So you got to figure out one thing. And the one thing you got to figure out, because let's not kid ourselves, they still didn't score a bunch of runs. These Cubs got a hit. So do we take Javi Baez's bat away and just make him stand directly over home plate and let him get hit by a pitch?
Well, getting hit by a pitch may not be a bad option for him at the plate, but You don't take him out of the lineup. I mean, defensively, he's so good, and you saw it again in game five. His reflex, the way he's able to tag base runners, and he did it again. David Ross on a short hop, he's able to pick it, put the tag on.
Great defense, but you can't. He's swinging at everything. He's swinging at mosquitoes that aren't there the minute he gets off the bus at the stadium. He just won't stop swinging.
Yeah, he looks like the Javi Baez of old. When Baez first came up from the minors, it was swing at everything, swing out of the zone, trying to hit breaking balls, you know, away and pull them to left field. That's what he's trying to do right now. He's trying to hit a home run with every swing. So I get that. I understand people are a little frustrated with it, but defensively, he's just so good. I don't know how you could take him out of the lineup, and then that changes a lot. Because what do you do then? Do you put Ben Zobrist back at second, and then who do you put in the outfield? I think it's just too big of a domino effect defensively to take him out. So I think you got to trust that in one swing, Baez could go deep. He could have a big hit for you, but defensively, it's just he's too good to take him out.
He is really.
Dave, where are the runs going to come from? Where are the runs going to come from? Dave, tell me.
Schwarber.
Well, Kyle Schwarber back in the lineup
tonight.
Oh, okay.
Well, I feel better.
Baez 3-for-21 in the World Series, but he did have a hit Sunday night. Hmm. So that ought to be pointed out.
Okay. What are you, his attorney?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, mainly his defense has been terrific. I agree. You got to have, and you have Contreras behind the plate tonight with Arrieta pitching, and I think you need Baez out there to make that tag because Contreras will get the ball there. But Schwarber being back in the lineup, I don't think you can overstate the importance of having his bat back in there against Tomlin tonight. Wouldn't you agree, Kev?
Yeah, no question. Had a few hits in the first. And in some ways, not that this team needs any sort of uplifting or anything like that, but you know they're a little more pumped but when they see Schwarber in the lineup. I mean, he extends the core of the lineup, will likely bat fifth again. So then you've got a Bryant, Rizzo, Zobrist, Schwarber. That's the core of your lineup. That's scary for any opposing pitcher. I don't care if Schwarber's been out for 7 months and he only has 11 plate appearances. That's a tough core to get through. I don't care who you are, who the starting pitcher is. That's not easy. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Schwarber does something amazing again tonight like he did in the first couple of games.
I have finally come around, I think, you guys, to the whole Joe Maddon relaxed atmosphere in the clubhouse after I heard Aroldis Chapman's biggest thrill of that game the other night was that he got to bat. And he was running, Javi Baez said, was he telling you guys, Kevin, that he was running up and down in the dugout saying, fourth, I get to bat fourth, and that he was so excited about that. I still want to know, though, you guys, Kevin or Dave, I mean, why would Joe Maddon not give the pep talk and say, all right, this has to be done, or is it just, you know what, he hasn't done it before, why start now?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I think they're just going to continue to do what they've done all season. I mean, if your manager all of a sudden changes his game plan or his approach, I think as a player, you're probably going to recognize that and then feel, I mean, if your manager is sort of out of sorts and doing something different than he's done all year, I think that's it gives you question marks if you're a player. But, I mean, Matt is sticking with his guns. That they dressed up for Halloween yesterday on their flight to Cleveland, and they had candy, and they dressed up in costumes. I mean, this is what they did all year. You remember the zany costumes and the tracksuits and the pajamas? They just continue to do what they do. So, I don't think there's any sort of panic or anything with this team. They just got to play loose and have fun. And Chris Bryant talked about that the other night. When they're doing that, that's when they're at their best.
Where are you in Cleveland? You in the hotel now?
I'm in the hotel. Good old West Cleveland, about 10, 15 minutes from downtown.
Yeah, and you going to do anything fun? I mean, you don't have to go to the park till like 2 o'clock.
Go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Kev.
Yeah, maybe I will do that.
I have a list of 10 things to do in Cleveland. Make a note of these. Cleveland Museum of Art. I was thinking Kevin cool. Powell, you know, from the time he was on this show. He's an art aficionado. He always has
pictures of food, maybe.
A better chance of you going to the Museum of Art today than Kevin.
Kevin thinks the Museum of Art is a museum of guys named Art.
Art in the series. Art in the series. The way.
Yeah. How about Cleveland Orchestra? The Cleveland Orchestra.
Hey, I can't wait to not go see that.
Yeah, I don't like his chances.
West Side Market? A lot of food there, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, I'll check that out.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame we talked about. Progressive Field.
Isn't there a popular cemetery around here? With a
there is. Lakeview Cemetery. I think, isn't Taft buried there?
Yes, I think you're correct.
Yeah. Did he that describe it as a popular cemetery?
Yeah. so well, popular. No. I mean, you can't get in there.
Graceland's a popular cemetery.
No, it's sold out. Yeah. You can't get in there now.
You know, I did the last time I was here last week, I did sort of walk around downtown, which takes about 5 minutes to see the entire downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into a couple street vendors, had a couple hot dogs, a couple Polish sausages. And I regretted it about an hour later. Even my stomach couldn't handle the street vendors of Cleveland. So I may avoid that and may just go to the cemetery and do a stroll through there because the street vendors here, didn't exactly feel the best, Steve. I felt better after,
Well, that's like when I worked in New York. Every spring they changed the hot dog water, you know, once a year, whether they need it or not. Same kind of thing. I misspoke, by the way. It's James Garfield, President Garfield, the Garfield Monuments in Cleveland.
Taft-Garfield mix-up.
No Grover Cleveland?
No, Grover Cleveland's actually from Toledo. I don't know if you know that or not. Yeah.
With the mud ants?
I'm looking through here. This is a list of all the things to do in Cleveland. Cleveland sucks.
No. All right, now I wouldn't say that.
Nice. It's there is to rock.
There is one street, Kev, that has all the restaurants, and it's got like the cobblestone street. There's all kinds of food along there.
I got to be honest with you.
Fourth Street.
Fourth Street, yeah.
There's not a lot going on in Cleveland. Yeah, I mean, outside of sports.
Hang out on Fourth Street.
Yeah, there's not a lot happening here. I mean, in San Francisco, we could send you to an expensive restaurant and have you try to explain it on your expense report.
To Dave.
Yeah.
Dave
is
right I'm his... I don't really want to see that on the expense report.
Dave going in and arguing for it. Yeah, I don't know why Kevin went to a $400 restaurant. Which, from the looks of this, $400 would buy you all the restaurants in Cleveland. But yeah, go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's our final answer.
Yeah, you'll like that.
I plan on doing that today.
All right, they going to win tonight?
Yeah, I think they're going to win tonight. I think they're going to win the next two nights, to be honest.
So do I.
Me too. Why do you guys not sound so excited about this?
Well, I'm tired. It's early.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, you check with me about 7. I'll be fired up. Kevin and all of our baseball coverage sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and by Sloan Water Connexus. All right, 7:25, we've hidden a puck. Not where we used to hide it, but somewhere in the city. Find the puck, get your tickets. A pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks and the Colorado Avalanche Thursday night. Going to be entered to win 4 season tickets for next year. Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. See them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com or on Facebook. Listen for your second chance to win a pair of tickets this afternoon with Roe. All right, now, John DeCoste has been writing riddles. John's got a really bizarre job. You know what I mean?
He does. Writes songs.
I mean, he works nights. You know, he may be a criminal element. He's out at night, you know, a lot. He's doing allegedly stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the YouTube channel today in DeCoste. You know, he's got a lot of weird things going on. None of it sounds legitimate to me. And now he's writing riddles.
So he's kind of the Riddler now.
I would think riddles probably don't have a bright future, but we have a riddle here that could lead to Hawks tickets. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here's the riddle. Don't shout out the answer, even if you know.
Why do you look at me when you say that?
1,000 years is where I live. Reflecting Chicago is what I give. Pinto, Jelly, Judge, Roy, Bag. It's what our city will use to brag.
Oh, that's so easy.
I got it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Did you know?
Did you look at the notes?
No.
You looked
sure?
at the notes.
I don't even have the notes.
That was kind of an easy one, though.
You don't know, do you?
I totally know.
Do you?
Yeah. This one I do, because there's something that gave it away.
First correct caller, 312-981-7200 is a winner. That's right, first correct caller. 1,000 years is where I live. Reflecting Chicago is what I give. Pinto, Jelly, Judge, Roy, Bag. It's what our city will use to brag. First correct caller is a winner.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is in the news. You familiar with Trump? He's running for president. Donald Trump, this is LA Times story. When Trump's casinos were bleeding money and he was badly in debt in the 90s, you remember the story about writing off almost $1 billion in losses? Well, there's more. In the early 1990s, Trump convinced financial backers to forgive large debts he couldn't repay. But he avoided having to report the canceled debts as income because he gave his backers equity in his partnerships that own the casinos, which he would eventually return to running until he stopped running them because they all went belly up. The bottom line in this somewhat complex story is it's a tax dodge that allowed him not to pay taxes again and saved him from reporting hundreds of millions of dollars in income. This is exactly the argument Democrats used to disqualify Mitt Romney in 2012. He's a rich guy that takes advantage of the system. And Trump has gotten away with not reporting or not showing his taxes, which every presidential candidate has done. There's a guy that's coming on tomorrow from the Washington Post that's done a completely exhaustive story, which is really tremendous and disturbing, about Trump's lack of charitable giving and how outside of giving to his own foundation, where the money was used to benefit himself or pay off legal fees for things that he had gotten himself in trouble over, he doesn't appear to have given a dime charitably. So we'll get to the charity side of this tomorrow, but the today side of this is several financial advisors who worked with Trump at the time in the 90s quit over this scam. The exact move Trump used to avoid paying taxes in the early 90s was finally outlawed by Congress in 2004. So there's really only two ways you can take this argument. One is you can go along with Trump and what Trump said, and that is he didn't do anything illegal. He was taking advantage of the system. And now that he's going to be president, he's not going to take advantage of the system. He's going to fix it so nobody can do what he did. Okay, if that works for you, good for you. I don't know how it doesn't give you a headache. But if that works for you, okay. But the only other way you can take this is he's a scam artist. Just another example of his character. He didn't pay for his fair share of anything. He didn't pay for roads. He didn't pay for bridges. He didn't pay for schools. He didn't pay for the military. He didn't pay for any government expenses because he got out of paying his taxes.
For 18 years.
So, I mean,
this isn't just a, oh, you know, you're not going to pay taxes right for the next year or so. This is 18 years.
And some of the finest New York tax advisors said, we cannot support this. Well, it doesn't appear to be illegal. It's awfully close. And that was in the 90s. That combined with the 900 and some odd million that he wrote off in casino losses, which you remember Rudy Giuliani said made him brilliant. Okay. That means that he had a tremendous amount of income that he could declare as either losses or not report his income at all, and therefore avoid paying, you remember this phrase, his fair share of taxes. Just another story that's floating out there today. We'll catch up to date on the Hillary Clinton email swamp as well and developments in regards to Huma Abedin and the fact that she's not traveling with Hillary now. What do those emails say? What do they maybe not say? We'll get to that coming up. Polls seem to indicate that story has had little impact on the race so far. But again, don't underestimate Trump. Don't underestimate Glenn Close in the bathtub. Don't underestimate Trump. Lauren Dunn. Lauren Dunn is the big winner. Let's go to Lauren Dunn now. All right, Lauren, here's the poem, the riddle, 1,000 years is where I live. Reflecting Chicago is what I give. Pinto, Jelly, Judge, Roy, Bag. It's what our city will use to brag. Lauren, what is it?
It is the bean, or as it's actually called, Cloud Gate in Millennium Park.
You're getting a rare sitting ovation. Congratulations to you.
What gave it away? Did Pinto give it away?
you know what? When he said 1,000 years, I go, that's a millennium. That's a millennium. And I'm like, and then, yeah, then the pinto and jelly and blah, blah, blah.
Pretty good riddle, though.
That's very really clever. Good. Very
oh,
clever.
Oh, now
very
I really get good. It.
Yeah. That's the cost. He's a whack job, isn't he?
He's great.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Lauren, congratulations. We have tickets for you to see the Hawks in Colorado Thursday night, and you're entered to win 4 season tickets for every game next season.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Have a great time. Hold on for me. And this is courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
John Fox has been miserable as a head coach in so many ways and facets. But tonight, hey, the defense and offensive line, they came to play, and man, you got to be proud.
Here's one thing I got to say. Jay Cutler makes a difference on this team, on this offense. These guys played hard for him.
You know what it comes down to, folks? If you're playing and you're getting your backside handed to you week after week, there comes a point in time where you got to make a stand.
And perhaps a sign of progress tonight, a convincing win engineered by Jay Cutler. 20-10 the final as they take down the Minnesota Vikings.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Well, we were all wrong, and I'm glad we were. Last night, your Chicago Bears played like an actual National Football League franchise. Played with some intensity. Played with some urgency. Played with some growl on the defensive side of the football. It was pretty impressive. Dan Hampton joins us as he continues to gaze on his beautiful new ring this morning. Morning, Hall of Famer.
Hey, good morning. And you're exactly right. And it was pretty evident, you know, early on in the game, even though Jay Cutler, you could tell he was a little bit rusty, the offense and defensive line, they controlled the tempo of this game and made it look almost easy. And for the first time this year, this is the football team I expected in September. This is a team that we all were planning on watching. Right. And finally, here in the 8th game of the season, they show up.
Yeah, and not that this is the story, but what's going on with the Vikings? How did the Vikings go from 5-0 to awful?
Well, injuries are, you know, a big deciding factor in how games are going to be won and lost. And they lost their 2 offensive tackles, and those positions will cripple an offense. Sure. And Philadelphia exploited it. The Bears, you know, Vic Fangio, who I have great respect for, saw him in the pregame, and you know, it was pretty much the template had been set. You know, bring your defensive ends, collapse the pocket from the outside in, and you know, basically dare the Vikings to get open. They couldn't. They don't have a running game, so it became pretty evident that the Vikings, you know, and you know, this entire league, there's no real dominant football teams, and that's the chronic shame about the fact that we lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts in you know, back-to-back weeks. Just say we win those, we're setting it 4-4.
Yep.
Other teams are getting hurt, we're getting healthy. Could have been a completely different season. And again, like I said, this team that we saw last night, you know, they deserve better, but they've dug their own hole.
And this is why Hamp was talking about this before, and I agree with him 1,000%. This is why you don't lose out to get a draft choice. You only get 16 of these every year. You want to win every weekend. You want to put your best effort forward every weekend. And last night was fun football for the first time.
Well, 2 things about it, and you can say all you want about the fact that Brian Hoyer came in and he did a nice job of you know, piling up some yardage, but defenses were basically giving him that soft underbelly, and then when it would get to the red zone, they'd clamp down, and he was ineffective, was not able to you know, be able to force the ball in where you have to sometimes, and you know, it is what it is. This offense with Jay Cutler can be a pretty effective unit. And more than anything else, like I said, the offensive line had a great night. Jordan Howard, over 150 yards on the ground, almost 50 through the air. He was a force. But, you know, one of these days, it's all going to click. And if we get Kevin White back, at some point next year, and we'll see what happens with Alshon. But, I mean, in all facets, this team could be pretty effective. But, you know, the hidden story, and we talked about this last night, and I know a lot of folks were probably, you know, worrying about getting their beauty rest for tonight's Cub game. But we talked about this. There was a story that came out over the weekend that there was a quote-unquote consultant at Hallis Hall, and he was basically doing evaluations. And for whatever reason, you know, and I know, when, you know, my son, he hates it when I watch him do his homework and I'm looking over his, well, guess what? Nobody likes to be, you know, got, you know, somebody hawking him and watching him. Well, for whatever reason, the game plan, the motivation, the schematic different, it was the best preparation of the year. And, you know, you can say what you want, but OB and Kaz and I have beat this drum that John Fox has done a very, very bad job of getting the Chicago Bears ready to play in 2016 in the month of September and practically all of October. But the team we saw last night finally was the team we wanted and expected.
More with Hamp in a moment, including the honor he received last night. Did you see Hamp got some new jewelry?
I did see that, yeah. Yes.
Tennis bracelet.
It's very nice.
Come back to Hamp in a second. More from Dan Hampton on the Bears' win last night. Beat the Vikings 20-10. And Gruden at one point, as Dan Hampton rejoins us now, Gruden at one point showed a clip of Brett Favre scoring on Halloween 1994, a game Dave Ennett was at that I was at, the worst weather I have ever seen at a professional sporting event. Raining, sleeting, and snowing at various times in the halftime ceremony, which everybody was anticipating. I think it was Butkus and Gale Sayers,
it
right?
Was,
getting
it
their
was.
Numbers retired.
And everybody stayed for the halftime, and
then
everybody
went,
took off.
Ran. Ham, were you there that night?
I sure was, but I didn't have a trash bag on.
Exactly.
You know, nobody expected it, and nobody wore, like, a big coat. And I remember they had trash bags on trying to stay dry. Bless their heart. By the way, I think I have to tell Butkus that you called his ring a tennis bracelet, by the way, before we went to break.
Last time Butkus is in here, I thought he was going to hit me. I didn't help my cause any there. Congratulations on that. That's a nice thing that the Hall of Fame's doing.
Real quick, guys, you know, the original rings were designed a long time ago, 50 years or so when they started. And they wanted to upgrade it a little bit more bling. And David Baker, the new director, well, new, that's 6 to 8 years, something like that. He's really, you know, he's amazing, and he's doing an awful lot of great things at the Hall. They're going to try and get the draft there next year because, wow, you know, they're leaving Chicago. And he said, hey, what's wrong with the Hall of Fame? All these different things. But I got to tell you, two things. When we were getting ready to go step up on the little stage and be presented with the rings, you know, they're showing highlights, and I'm right behind Butkus, and I'm watching his highlights, and he's like, you know, clotheslining people and biting and scratching and slinging people around. And I said, you'd be outlawed today. You can't do that stuff today. and then my highlights come on, and he starts saying, oh, yeah, well, that was a coverage sack. You're not doing it. Great Dick Butkus is always and forever will be, you know, one of those kind of guys that, and it's a hoot anytime you're around him.
You know what we ought to do at some point? We ought to give an opportunity for adults who aren't offended easily to come in and hang around with these guys when they're doing the show. Because the stories that Hamp and OB and Kaz have off the air that they could never tell on the air.
Right. But they would
are
be
so good.
They'd be too inhibited. No, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't at all. No. No.
Yeah, well, the FCC would be inhibited.
Yes, no question.
Not on the air.
Question on last night, Dave Ennett.
Well, Jordan Howard, again, Hamp, he had sort of tailed off a little bit lately, and I thought what was interesting is here's the Bears' offensive line without Kyle Long, without Josh Sitton, but the offensive line as a group had one of its best games.
without question, it's finest moment of 2016. And, you know, Kush, the left guard, you know, he started in this league for a number of teams. He's competent. He can play. And, of course, the one I was more worried about was Ed Larson, but he did a fine job at right guard and for Kyle Long. Cody White here, you can't forget about this young man. He, you know, was thrown into a bad spot early in the year. He's grown. He's gotten better. But more importantly, the fact that when you have a competent game plan and you don't try to do things you're not capable of, but you execute, and a lot of what Dow Loggins, and we've taken him to task over the years, you know, he ran up to me in a pregame. You know, he played at Arkansas long ago, and we was like going, you know, go Hogs to each other, blah, blah. And I, you know, you want these guys to do well. You want the coaches to succeed. And for the first time, these were terrific game plans on both sides of the ball, but the execution of the offense and defensive line made it look easy. You know, hey, Jordan Howard is a fine young running back, and he's only going to get better. And he's you know, one of the things I said before the game is, hey, the backs have got to make yards after contact. Well, he certainly did that last night. And again, this is something the team can build on, and we don't want them to let it evaporate over the bye week. You know, we need some good practices and even better game plans. We got to go to Tampa and try to get this thing turned around.
Yeah, you make a great point, and you're a golfer, Hamp. It's like when you make birdie and then you make double on the next hole. You know, you can't not focus now and not try to hold on to some momentum. Not easy over a bye week, but you got to do it.
Absolutely, and of course, it's PBS post birdie syndrome. We know all about that. But
yeah.
But I do know one thing that. Yeah, I hate to say the tragedy of the season is, yeah, guess what? Jay Cutler could have played probably 2 weeks ago. And even the Green Bay Packers, we had a 7-6 lead in the third quarter. He would have made a difference. He would have been a huge difference against the Jaguars. There's a lot of places. Jay Cutler at quarterback, and you can tell. And even though the media and even some of the Bear coaching staff wants to play it down like, well, Jay's no big deal, and, you know, we decided to move on with Brian. Hey, the team knows. The team knows when you're on a, and you're playing golf, you just brought this up. You know somebody that can hit at 310.
Yep.
You know somebody that can hit a 3-iron 220 yards. Those are special gifts. And you know who can do it, and you like playing with them. And Jay Cutler is that type of a player.
It's Dan Hampton. Let's go with the predictions. Cubs, Cleveland, what do you got?
Arrieta wins, and we'll wait and see what happens tomorrow.
You on this, Dave?
Oh, yeah, I believe Cubs will win tonight and will win tomorrow, but I also said I thought the Vikings would win last night.
Yeah, so don't listen to you or do listen to you?
Yeah, just ignore what I just said.
All right, we'll listen to Hamp then.
Yeah.
And I got the Cubs winning tonight as well. All right, thanks, Hamp. Enjoy that new jewelry.
Thank you so much. Go Bears, finally.
See you, buddy. Back with your news next on 720 WB.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me,
8:15, Dean's here. Got a chance to see Dean live yesterday. That was good. Dean came over for the big DeCastro shindig.
Yeah.
Had a big party yesterday. It was so interesting at the party. Really, really nice party with a live band that sounded awesome.
They're a good band,
by
yeah.
the way.
And playing the music of my people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some good old school R&B. And man, it's so much fun to see white people dance.
Well, that's the thing that I noticed. Like this, the second that the music started, all the young people started dancing. And all the old people moved toward the back of the room, bitching about how loud the music was.
Right. Yep.
What? I can't hear. What?
Dean, I can't hear you.
What? Oh, this music is so loud.
Does it have to be this loud with the celebration?
My feet hurt. I walk up by Steve. He goes, I'm about to hit the wall. How about you?
Well, you do get that point.
because we wake up early.
You get up at a ridiculous hour in the middle of the night, and there literally is a point in the middle of the afternoon.
Yes.
Where, and it comes out of nowhere, like falls off a cliff. It's sometime between 2 and 3 usually for me.
Always.
Where suddenly you just go, I have no idea what anyone's saying, and I care even less.
Right.
You guys are fuddy-duddies.
It's funny how
I was out there dancing.
Someone talks with you, and you just look at them, this blank stare on your face, like, I'm not listening to a word you're saying.
I was doing that to Larry Wirt.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, the guy that runs the company. But it was a nice thing. It was kind of a combination Halloween and see you later party for Jimmy DeCastro.
By the way, nice gift, Dean. Everyone kind of gave Jimmy different gifts and things. Uh-huh. Well, you should tell what you gave.
It was double. It wasn't me. It was.
Oh, forget it then. I thought it was you.
No, I'm not that thoughtful. The WGN TV, our general manager, Paul Rennie, was there. And Jennifer,
good guy, by the way.
Yeah. Really good guy. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lyons, our news director.
She's great.
Awesome.
She needs to work harder, though.
A bunch of people.
To put a few more newscasts on, Jen.
A few more newscasts. And you know she's got 6 kids, by the way, also.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Our news director. I tell her that she comes to work just to get away from the 6 kids all day.
Right.
And then that's when the real immaturity starts, when she's around all of us. We have these really cool posters all along in the walls of WGN TV that are Chicago's very own, and they're not famous people. They're just Chicagoans,
posters
and their occupations. Yeah. You know, just different kinds of occupations. And they made one with Jimmy DeCastro's picture in it, and it just said Chicago's very own Jimmy DeCastro.
Yeah, it's very nice,
very cool.
It's very nice.
Paul asked me to present it as though I made it myself, and you know, like I paid for it, but. That will never happen.
Did you notice I didn't speak at the party?
I noticed you were kind of like a little wallflowery. You were kind of in the corner.
No, because I've had 2 opportunities in front of this huge audience to say goodbye to him, and frankly, I'm tired of him. Get out, Jimmy. No, I gave everybody else an opportunity to speak.
I didn't know we all had the opportunity to.
Yeah. Yeah, and for people that didn't take the opportunity to speak,
you're on the list.
Well, I don't want to follow Dean. That was a really pretty good speech.
You're
there.
On the list forever.
Yeah.
So Jimmy DeCastro, who left yesterday, sadly.
Yeah, the general manager of this place, for people that didn't know.
Right. He's, you know, it's a Halloween party, so he's got this white powder wig on. And, you know, like a lacy shirt.
Just such a 12-year-old.
And like white stockings. Everything. For a minute, I thought, nice Barbara Bush outfit. he was out. Turns out he was Alexander. He had his iPhone with him. He goes, wait, I've got to play my music for you. Yeah. And he plays the Alexander Hamilton soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, he had it down all the way to the, what would you call them? The tights?
Yeah.
Yeah, the white, knickers and the.
Yeah.
White tights, yeah.
Yeah, he kept having to pull up tights. His tights.
That's commitment.
His tights, yeah.
That is commitment. And the wig stayed on the whole time. That's. You know, usually that's the first thing to go because wigs are hot. They're uncomfortable.
You mean hot temperature-wise, not hot like a great look?
Like,
yeah. There's a picture I tweeted out last night from when Jimmy was in here yesterday. He's in full costume, but the only thing you see is him. And he's sort of, you know, he's sort of got this sad look on his face. He looks like a mental patient that escaped and came into the studio. He's in full Alexander Hamilton costume.
That's so great.
He was not going to miss his shot.
He was running around Tribune Tower in a dress all day yesterday. Nice.
And coincidentally, Jamie Farr was on yesterday. He tried to get out of the Army wearing a dress. So you can tie those two together.
It's a thing. It was fun, though. It was fun. Nice to see everybody. I don't get to see everybody every day. So
no, and his
that was pleasant.
His grandson, his daughters, his wife were there. Yeah, that was cool. It was a nice party. You know, they're really nice people that work here.
Yeah. Mostly.
Yeah, there's a few creeps. You're talking about me, aren't you?
No. I hung around you. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't have hung around you.
A good point. A very good point. You know, it's the month of November now, Dean, as you know, November 1st, so please date your checks to Dean and I accordingly. I'm taking texts all morning on your October surprise you'd still like to see. Here's a few. My biggest October surprise, Bears won last night. 815, biggest October surprise. Somebody remembers my birthday. We actually tried to contact this person because we thought that was sad.
That's sad.
And we wanted to get them prizes off the prize list, and their voicemail was full. So apparently somebody remembered.
Yeah.
And 309, biggest October surprise. Somebody peels off Trump's skin to reveal he's actually a lizard alien from V. Remember that show?
Oh, I remember V.
Wow.
Text us 312-981-7200. How about this for a couple? Biggest October surprise. Hillary tells the truth about everything for 24 hours. Or this, biggest October surprise. Trump reveals his taxes and respects women for up to 60 minutes.
All right, you guys, it's not magic. Not a magical ball here.
When we come back, what happened to the Gannett folks buying the Chicago Tribune?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. How are things in the newsroom there on TV this morning?
It's quiet here today because we're getting ready for the big game tonight. Half the people, like the noisiest people in the newsroom, are all in Cleveland.
Right.
Pat Tomasulo's there. Usually he does a lot of yelling and screaming in the newsroom, so it's like nice and quiet here today.
And Anna Bonneville is out on the street.
Anna's out on the street, and she's around town in Portage Park this morning visiting different stores in that lovely neighborhood.
Your ratings still pretty good there, aren't they?
Ratings are. Yeah, mm-hmm. Ratings are. It's been kind of interesting. You know, we were expecting to get clobbered because of the World Series.
Not so much.
Being on Fox, we thought, well, you know, the Fox morning shows, you know, they're going to kill us.
And the idea being that people turn their TV off at night at Fox and they wake up, it's on Fox in the morning.
Yeah. Turns out the ratings that we saw this the day after Sunday night's game, the Fox morning show was rated number 4.
So, wow.
And we were number 1. So
doesn't bode well.
That's not good.
Well, congratulations. And yeah, since you asked, the numbers here continue to be, this is the number 1 talk show in town until
goes without saying.
Until Oprah comes back.
Yeah. I heard she's going to be co-hosting with you on CLTV.
There's some rumors.
That's how they were able to close the CLTV deal.
Yeah, if Oprah will do it, we'll let Cochran on.
Yeah.
I have 7 exciting clown facts for you coming up. Before we get to those,
love that.
What's going on with Val Kilmer?
Val Kilmer, according to Michael Douglas, has stage 4 oral cancer. It's cancers of the mouth, the throat, different portions of cancer, which Michael Douglas also had. It was also stage 4. Went through treatment, and he seems to be okay with it right now. Michael Douglas says that it doesn't look good for Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer is saying business as usual. He's promoting a movie. Interestingly, it's a movie about his one-man play about Mark Twain. And on Facebook yesterday, Kilmer quoted Mark Twain saying, "Recent news about my death have been greatly exaggerated." So if you believe Michael Douglas, not so good. If you listen to Val Kilmer, he seems to be doing okay. But apparently is dealing with stage 4 oral cancer.
Well, God bless, right?
Yep.
Nothing but the prayers there.
Yep.
Adele had postpartum depression?
She revealed this in an interview in Vanity Fair magazine. Talks about after she had her... Now 4-year-old son. It doesn't seem like that long ago to me, but
time flies.
When you're having fun,
yeah.
The son is now 4 years old, but she says that she was feeling had like severe feelings of being inadequate. Was obsessed with the child and he wanted to be with him every single minute of the day. Felt like she had made the worst decision of her life having her child. But she said that after talking to other mothers, realizing that the feelings were not that uncommon, began taking time for herself at least one day a week by herself so she could, breathe a little bit.
Sure.
Said that she's doing better, and she said that all of that now has made her a better mom. So she's doing better.
Cosby back in court?
Yeah. Court is today, as a matter of fact. He's going to be... he is required to make an appearance there today. It's regarding the case of Andrea Konstad, former director of operations for women's basketball, Temple University, who accused him of sexual assault. So the Cosby lawyers, they say, will try to get the case dismissed. Most everyone thinks that's not going to happen, but that's going to happen today, so we'll learn more about that then.
The Gannett Company was going to buy the Chicago Tribune. What happened?
Not going to happen. Both companies have said the deal fell through. The Gannett Company, which owns USA Today and many other properties, said that the terms were not acceptable. Crane's Chicago Business this morning is saying that the newspaper publisher could not complete a financing package in time. And that's what caused the whole thing to fall through.
So it's fancy pants money stuff that's above our understanding.
It is. But either way, Gannett, that everyone thought this was going to be a done deal, is not going to be the owner of the Chicago Tribune and its many other publications, including the Los Angeles Times, no longer associated with Tribune Media Company that owns WGN Radio and TV.
Which is run by Larry Word, who, I don't know if you know this, is a genius.
Handsome, handsome man.
And a good-looking fella.
Yeah.
And finally, in the interest of time, we're not going to have time to get to the clown facts. We'll have to do this tomorrow.
Oh, no.
But
what a tease you are.
But your mom is going to be on the show or not?
She, we're doing the big show live at Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington on Sunday, and she was a big hit last year.
Yeah.
She even made homemade Greek yogurt for everybody. She shows up at a personal appearance with homemade Greek yogurt for everybody.
Not getting that on Eric and Kathy.
So I wasn't sure if she was going to be joining us or not this year. We've been negotiating with her agents for weeks about this.
Sure.
And yesterday we were able to make the confirmation that my mom, my 93, soon to be 94-year-old in a month or so, 94-year-old mom will be joining us live in Lake Barrington at Tree Time. She says she's not sure if she's going to be cooking this year or not.
That is so sweet.
That was part of the deal.
By the way, Dean, she just called me and wants to confirm her appearance fee.
Oh, that's been worked out already. Okay. I'm going to be, believe me, I'm going to be paying for this for quite a while.
Well, it's more than enough.
Oh, I don't. This is how it went yesterday. You know, it's, I don't feel. Mom, everybody loves you. You're the hit of the show last year. Nah, I don't know. I mean, literally, it's like working a deal with an agent or somebody. No, I'm not. I don't really. I'm not sure. So in the end, we were able to.
Listen, dude. I feel your pain. I tried to get my mother, you know, who runs illegal numbers for the mob during football season. I tried to get my mother to do more than just be, you know, a bookie. And I offered her a chance to write a blog for the show. And she said, I'm too busy writing rhymes for Steve Harvey's crew. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, well.
By the way, I'm both of their agents, so.
Yeah. Well, then you and I have a meeting.
Good call by me. Yeah.
She plays this, I don't know what to say when I'm on the air.
Oh, please.
Oh, give me a break.
Like my mother. Oh, no, I don't want it to be about me. Please.
The most popular.
Then why do you carry a Klieg light on wheels? All right, I'll see you later. Time for the big story next at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It's one of the greatest guitar ramps to a song ever. Pete Townsend, Eminence Front.
Also my theme song, thanks to John DeCasse.
Oh, that's right. It is David Eminence Force, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Coach Q joins us now. Or, Coach, we could just listen to Eminence Front if you want.
No, either way, it's a nice song.
It's tremendous. Coach Q is sponsored by Hooters. It's not just a great restaurant, great place to get wings. You know what it is, David? It's a way of life.
Yes, it is.
So, Coach, I was out there Sunday night, and I watched the best Hawks game of the season. I thought solid on both ends of the ice. Good defense, good goaltending. Taves gets on the score sheet. I was happy all the way around.
Yeah, a lot of good things happened. You know, we scored a big goal early, had the lead. We checked well. We had four lines that were more predictable, had more zone time, had the puck way more than we've had in any of the other games, and we denied them quality chances and zone time as well. Corey was great in that. Special teams were all, you know, chipping in as well. So it was a much better performance. And, you know, I think that last part of the Jersey game and last game, is a good sign that we look like we're turning the corner here.
Yeah, this is not what the rest of the league wants. The rest of the league goes, oh, no. The Blackhawks getting good. That's not good. They don't want that. This is perfect.
Well, this year the parity in the league is tremendous, and everybody's real close right now, and I don't see that changing throughout the year. So it's the start of the year. You know, these points are very valuable, very important. We've got a nice home schedule here. We got to take advantage of here, and And then we got a tough road game schedule the rest of the month. So it's a, you know, we played Calgary here last week. They're playing better than they started the year. They're physical. They change a little bit of how they played from year to year here. And you know, we got to be ready for these guys coming after us and be better than we were the other night against them.
How significant was that game in New Jersey on Friday night? Because you come from behind twice. You get a late goal to tie, and then you get the win in overtime against a team which I don't think they had lost a home game prior to that.
Well, it's a better team than we've seen last year. We found out first 10 when we went into Jersey there. I think we're down 3-0 first 10 minutes of the game when we said, oh, go on. This is a very organized team. They a lot of structure to their team and not a lot of time and space. And I thought we came in there and we got better. I thought we had watched them a little bit earlier in the game. And coming back the way we did in a couple of these games here recently, knowing that, hey, we still are, it's a 60-minute game. We're accustomed to having the lead and being able to come from behind. It's a tough league to score when the other team's in that checking mode. And we've been able to get a couple late ones and then getting a pretty one in overtime as well. It was a good ending. Some good stories. And then, but the last game was the most encouraging game of the year. And hopefully that's a real positive step. And let's keep going in that direction.
So let's talk about tonight. Because before you guys get hooked up with Calgary here, you got another World Series game. Have you been watching the World Series, right?
I watched most of it. Yes.
All right. You got a snack. You got a goat.
Nice win the other day. We got a tonight. Well, it's exciting. I think tonight is obviously a huge one, and we got the momentum, so keep it going.
You got a snack? A go-to snack for baseball?
A go-to snack.
I mean, I know you're a popcorn guy. You've always been a popcorn guy.
Yeah, I would say mostly popcorn for sure.
I think you're holding out on me. I think you might be working.
Peanuts and a beer at the game is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, see, there you go. Now you're talking. Did you make it to a Cubs game this summer?
This summer I didn't get one.
Okay. Can we get tickets to a quick trip to Cleveland?
I think he's busy tonight.
Oh, that's right, you're busy.
Maybe today. Tomorrow night. Yeah. So you've been in the situation. You've done what the Cubs are trying to do. You trailed 3-1 in a series, and you were able to come back and win it. It's a little different because in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's 2-2, 1-1, 1 as opposed to the 2-3, 2. But you had to win Game 6 in Detroit to get the series to Game 7 back here. Joel, what goes into the mentality? What's the mindset got to be for a team when you're facing an elimination game, but you know you're 24 hours or 48 hours away, in your case, of getting to a Game 7 and a chance to win the series?
Well, you're not even thinking of Game 7. You're only thinking of today's game and trying to win the game. And I think once you get deeper in a series, you can't look back. It's almost like a Game 7 mentality where it's a must-win situation. And in the playoffs, the deeper you get, the later you get in games as well. Momentum is so critical and so important and so valuable. And I think getting that last win going into Cleveland gives the Cubs a great situation to be in. And you got Schwarber back in here, and so it's they got a lot of good things. They've got tremendous lineup. They've got a lot of enthusiasm. You got to love the way Joe manages their team. So wish them nothing but the best. And hey, let's enjoy watching it. We're all, even though that we're on at the same time, it'll be I'm sure Cubs will be number one all night tonight.
Okay, Q, most important question, Coach. The Halloween party that you guys had was, I don't know if it was last weekend or earlier this week. Everyone came dressed up. Taves was a skeleton. I think Panarin was a skeleton, too.
Taves was a scary skeleton.
He was scary. Wasn't he? But yeah. What's up with Scott Darling? Did you see him dressed up as a Will Ferrell's character from Blades of Glory?
Oh, really?
I didn't know if Coach
did. Well, it's a skating movie. Why not, Coach?
There you go. There you go. The boys have fun at the Halloween parties. They're always good parties. You know, coaches, the players have the fun, and coaches, sometimes we hear about it, sometimes, but they've always been good for the camaraderie and get together. And at that time of the year, it's good that everybody has a good time together.
Did you dress up?
No, we don't go. Okay. Just the players.
Yeah. What about your coaches' party? Did you dress up at the coaches' party?
We didn't have one this year.
Sanders.
Oh, stop it. Of course you did. What do kids do when they come to your house and they see Coach Q answers the door? And do you have the big candy bars for them?
Sometimes we go, and there's a little bit of everything, you know, when the kids come. It was a little quieter this year.
Yeah, we got nothing, man. We got nothing. We got like three doorbell rings.
Yeah.
The whole night.
Yeah. But it's a, it was a, you know, it was, I don't know if everybody's different, but some neighborhoods I'm sure get a lot more than others.
Can I come over to your house next year?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
He's not going to answer the door.
Yeah, and why would you? All right, Calgary Flames tonight. Always like to ask you, give the fans something to look for. Who have they got that keeps you up at night, or somebody you ought to have a lot of respect for?
They got the two kids that are pretty good, Johnny Gaudreau and Monahan kid. They play well together, and they had their contracts. He was a little late coming into camp. I would expect him to be getting better every game now, and he's very dangerous off the rush. And once he touches the puck, he can see players, got that real good patience and play recognition. So keep an eye on those two guys.
Yeah, and finally tonight, and it's a testament to how good the young talent is in the NHL, McDavid versus Matthews, two of the young stars of the game. This Austin Matthews kid scored four goals in his first period of his first game of professional hockey. A lot of upside to this league, Coach. It's as good as it's been.
Yeah, you got to watch. The other kid's pretty good. McDavid leading the league, and one of those players that could be the next great player in the game. And we haven't seen him. We got him coming up here this month, so it'll be looking forward to see how he can play and how dynamic he is. But there's some real good young players in the game, and we got some good young players here ourselves. So we always like our group, and look forward to seeing how we match up against some of these young guys as well.
And I have your solution for tonight, Hawks fans. You got Troy and John on the radio, and you can have the TV on in the background with the Cubs, and you can cover both.
Perfect.
Right? Not my first day, Coach. I'm a thinker.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
All right. Have fun. Get another one tonight. We're on a roll.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
That's Coach Q, and he's sponsored by Hooters. Hooters, it's not just a restaurant.
No.
It is. I'll tell you what it is. It's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
I think they dress up.
Q was a little distracted today.
Well, he's thinking of you coming trigger-treating in his house.
Is it a work day today? Think he's trying to plan for a game or something? Up with my nonsense?
Well, you don't think he was thinking about what snack to have for the Cubs game?
Think I threw him on that?
I think you might have. Mm.
I was just hoping he wouldn't say, like, kale. Wheat crackers or something.
Please, not Coach Q.
So, all right. So, Hawks tonight, and what time do we get pregame?
Pregame tonight will be at 7 p.m.
Okay, there you go. John and Troy, best in the business.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
O-pedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Time now for the Hawkopedia. This is the Wintrust Community Banks Hour, and that's Dave Ennett. What are you teaching us today?
Well, how about a little more about the Calgary Flames?
Okay.
To add to what Coach Q just told us, because the Hawks will be reunited with three former teammates tonight, each of whom was part of at least one Stanley Cup in Chicago. They are now part of the Flames. Let's start with Troy Brower, the veteran forward, spent parts of five seasons with the Blackhawks to begin his National Hockey League career, and he was part of the 2010 Stanley Cup championship. Brower then spent 4 years in Washington and 1 year in St. Louis, where last spring he got the game-winning goal in Game 7 to eliminate the Blackhawks and move the Blues into the second round for the first time since 2012. This year, he's got 3 goals and 3 assists. Then there's Michael Frolik, a Blackhawk for parts of 3 seasons, including the 2013 Stanley Cup campaign. He's spent 2 years in Winnipeg. Now he's in his second year in Calgary and has 4 goals and 2 assists, 6 points on the season. And finally, Chris Versteeg, who began his career with the Blackhawks and was a Stanley Cup champion in 2010. Versteeg returned to the Hawks in 2014 and captured another cup a year later. After splitting last season between Carolina and Los Angeles, Versteeg landed in Calgary, where he has 2 goals and 2 assists. Last Monday night at the United Center, scored the only goal in a 7-round shootout to give the Flames a 3-2 victory over the Blackhawks. The Hawks will be out for some payback against their old pals tonight. And that's our Hawkopedia for today.
Well educated. That's what you get from this show. And we're back after this with the news in the 9 o'clock hour on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I'm not really going to, you know, expose everything or the way I'm really going to attack those guys. I just want to execute with quality in and out of the strike zone and try and get ahead in the count as early and as often as I can, you know, to open up some more options for myself. But, you know, it's just like any other game where you feel comfortable with the game plan and you go out there and do your best to, you know, follow through on the execution. So that's really the only thing that I'll be thinking about.
That's an exclusive interview with Jake Arrieta's beard before tonight. Jake Arrieta wasn't available. However, his beard seemed quite talkative. And tonight, the beard should be fierce. As the Cubs go to Cleveland, and Mark Carmen will be there. Carmen will be on the way in just moments, but he's taking time to talk to this show. It's a big break for us to get you, Carm.
I agree, Steve. I'm a very wanted man these days. I'm actually walking the streets right now. I apologize for the street noise, but my anxiety is such at a huge level right now that I can't be in my apartment before I leave, which is about right now. So I'm just walking along beautiful Ainslie Avenue. I hope that's okay.
I'm telling you,
he's pacing.
There's no reason to be anxious. Because,
oh, come on.
Well, no, once they go down 3-1, you go, well, they're lucky if they get it back to Cleveland. Okay, they got it back to Cleveland. Now it's just have at it.
He's not anxious about that. Have you ever ridden with Carm? He's driving to Cleveland.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought it was about baseball.
Yeah,
no. That's my bad.
That's a very rational, level-headed take, Steve, but that's you know, not reality right now. We're not dealing in rationale. We're dealing in, at least for me, let's make this all about me. I'm either going to be...
How's that different?
Well said, thank you. I'm either going to be watching the Cubs win the World Series for the first time ever.
Yeah,
forget about 1908. That didn't happen, or doesn't matter. And then
it mattered to the people who were around in 1908.
He means in his life. Yeah, well, this is about me,
right? Yeah, 1908 wasn't here. World didn't exist then.
Got it.
And then so we've got that, or I'm going to watch him lose. Are you kidding? I mean. Hey, Jake Arrieta, you tried really hard. Will you guys be back there next year? Because we'd really like you to be. There's only two possibilities: there, utter ecstasy or a complete and utter crawl under the table type of.
I had no idea that you were this neurotic. It's like Woody Allen's going to wander into the clubhouse and start interviewing the players after the game. You got to make this fun, man.
Well. I try to hide my Cub neuroses well. I think I do a pretty good job because it's just too painful.
Oh, yeah, I can't tell at all.
Well, now, I mean, come on. It's game six of the World Series. It's going to come flying in.
But if you can't have fun with the fact that the Cubs are in game six of the World Series, well, that's you, dude.
Oh, I agree. It's completely me. This is my fault and my creation. I agree, Steve. But, you know, and I'm working it. Joy. I'm going to feel joy. This is going to be lots of joy. Joy everywhere. When Aroldis Chapman's on the mound in game five.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
Thank God he survived, by the way. If you listen to Joe Buck and John Smoltz describe it, it sounded like he was one of the 33 trapped in a coal mine that had to be rescued through a tiny hole. It's eight outs. He'll live.
Well, he had never done it before, and they were trying to, you know, I guess perhaps
sell it,
put a little shine a light on that, and add to the drama. Yes, but my point is that, you know, I was about to leave the stadium, come back to do the post game show, but I'm sitting there watching, and so I'm walking through. I've got, you know, I'm in about the 10th row, right over the visitor's dugout. I got a great seat for Aroldis Chapman because apparently somebody left early, and I'm just standing there, and I can't even stand there. One pitch, and now I got to walk again because it's just too much. It's too much. There's a runner.
Dave, this sounds like the great Jerry West. Remember how Jerry West couldn't watch any of the teams he GM'd play?
Yeah.
It was just too tense for him. Or a little league mom or dad who can't watch their kid. You know, they have to look away when it's their moment. This is the kind of thing. This is the kind of psychosis that I think you're dealing with.
Yeah, but it's a problem when you're a sports broadcaster.
Yeah, it really.
You kind of have to watch the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to, is Kevin going to be your seeing eye dog for this, where Kevin's going to be next to you telling you what's happening?
Kevin is no help. He's got his own deal going on. His phone's going off. His head's in the computer. He's doing a million things. You can't connect with Kevin at these games. He's an actual, you know, working professional. I need a dual neuroses guy. Kevin's just way too level-headed for me in these moments.
I'm starting to wonder, why are we sending Carmen there? It could kill him. I mean, this is the kind of thing. We like Carm,
well,
Dave.
You just answered your own question.
You're the sports director, Dave. You're sending Carmen to his own end.
Well, no, I think he's going to be fine. You know, it's just going to be a little tense for him. That's all.
We're worried more about Carm. I love you, Carmy. We're worried more about Carmen in the game.
Yeah,
we should
really.
Be. Our focus should be on worrying about this team.
Game's going to be fine. You know what's going to happen? Arietta's going to be great. They're going to bust out a little bit. They're going to put up five tonight. And they're going to win tonight 5-1.
I hope 5-1. So. I hope. This is your score prediction?
That's my prediction.
I think they're going to win tonight. Wow, though. Five runs.
Well, that's what it was last time Arietta pitched there.
Was it 5-1?
It was 5-1.
Well, there you go. Another 5-1.
Look at that.
Let's give one encouraging stat to Cub fans. You have a 15% chance in baseball history to come back from 3-1 down.
Well, it's not 3-1 anymore. It's 3-2 now.
Exactly. And if you win game six, teams that win 5 and 6, they go on to win 71% of the time.
There you go.
Ooh, that's a good stat.
Go.
Nate Silver has the Cubs winning 52% odds right now.
That's a
good it's better than 50-50.
I like the 71%. Yeah. I like Carms.
Yeah. And by the way, you know LeBron's rooting for the Cubs. The Cavs haven't had their full celebration yet. He doesn't want the Indians to win.
They had to move up their game again tonight.
Yeah.
To 6 o'clock to avoid the conflict.
Right.
Well, and I think the Cavs and LeBron made a deal with the devil. Like, look, here, we're going to sacrifice the Indians. We're going to come back from 3-1 down, and here, we'll sacrifice the Indians again. They'll be up 3-1. The city will be super excited. But then they're going to blow it, and you know we'll just have to live with that ourselves, knowing that we made this deal. That's what I think happened.
See, I'm 55. I'm incredibly mature and well balanced. But if I'm LeBron and I've got all the money in the world and I'm 32 or 3 or whatever he is, I'm still petty, and I would definitely not want anyone to steal my thunder. I mean, they came back, beat Golden State down 3-1. They've had 4 months to celebrate. They're not even the toast of the town if the Indians win.
That is some significant pettiness right there.
That's
I appreciate
what I'm
it.
Talking about.
Yeah. Hey, Carm, I know that all the celebrities have been around, Cusack, Vedder, but I want to know if West Side Willie is going to make an appearance.
Well, Andrea, I think he might. I think he very well might be there tonight. That guy deserves to be in the stadium, whether he is or isn't. But perhaps maybe West Side will call in from outside the stadium. That's really more of a place for West Side. You know this, Andrea, that you know he would be attempting to get in, but it wouldn't quite work out for him. But the spirit would be there.
We've gotten absolutely out of this phone call. We've gotten absolutely no baseball knowledge from you. I mean, all we've done is comfort you and rock you. And the Cubs playing tonight. I mean, Dave and I could have broken this game down, but we go to you for expertise, and all we're doing is trying to hold you up.
What would you like to know? Give me your one best question. I will answer it thoroughly.
Well, I'm going to go to Dave Ennett on this. You got a question for Carm that doesn't involve Carm?
It doesn't involve Carm?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough.
I got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So Josh Tomlin on 3 days rest versus Jake Arrieta on 5 days rest. Who's got the advantage?
Dave, we've discussed this, and I know you love this one, and I agree with you. You have to believe history will tell you that the pitcher on 5 days rest has the edge. And the other thing with Josh Tomlin, pitched a significant edge, exactly. Yeah. And let's just remember Josh Tomlin. This is a guy, ERA over 4, pitch to contact. He's not going to be striking out a ton of Cubs tonight if they are even slightly more disciplined than they were when they faced him in game 3. So then they've done great at adjusting to various pitchers along the way. Clayton Kershaw at the top of that. So I think they're going to hit Tomlin. I really do. They certainly, if they don't, they'll be as irritated with themselves as they were after game 3. And apparently that locker room was very upset that they did not score, as they should have been, because, you know, you win that game, the series looks a whole lot different.
All right, I'm going to go on. I'm going to ask about the offense. I know we have, hopefully, Bryant will perform like he did in the last game, Carms. And then Schwarber's going to be in our lineup tonight. Again, which lineup do you see being more dominant this evening?
Well, it's kind of amazing, right? They've won 103 games. They're in the World Series, and we feel like we cannot live without Kyle Schwarber because the bottom of the lineup is so bad that please come and rescue us, Kyle Schwarber, on 1.5 legs. And he probably will. I mean, the guy's been unbelievable. But the Cubs are better situated right now to play in an American League park because Schwarber can be in the lineup. So they obviously get to do that tonight and hopefully tomorrow. So you got to like that. I'm sure Joe Maddon, as much as he'd like to be at Wrigley Field, doesn't mind having Kyle Schwarber right in that in his lineup. I'm a little bit surprised he's going with Contreras, the catcher, although he's done that all year. Just the way things have gone for Contreras in the World Series, I kind of thought that Ross might get a shot just because he's savvy and it's game six and the veteran presence, the whole thing. But hopefully Wilson Contreras will come up bigger than he has in the series tonight.
Cubs 5-1. What do you got?
4-2. Cubby.
Dave.
Damn it.
That sounds right. 4-2.
Andrea?
I'm going to say Cubs 4-3.
So you want a nail biter.
It's going to be another nail biter.
It's going to be really close. Cubs 6-5.
Coming up, Mary talks about Dancing with the Stars. Carm is so freaked out about Dancing with the Stars, he doesn't know what's going to happen going
to
the final.
Oh, you said 5-1.
5-1.
Okay.
All right, buddy, have a good trip there.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being safe.
Smart, be safe. Carmen. I'm worried about him. He's pacing on the streets of Chicago before he drives to Cleveland.
I've actually hired someone in Cleveland to slap some of the nonsense out of him when he gets there.
Is that Kevin?
Yes, Kevin. Yeah. It's 9:24. We're back with more in a moment. Mary has to review Dancing with the Stars. And would you date a Trump supporter? Coming up before 10 and 7:20 WGN. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody like. All right, Mary, so last night, Dancing with the Stars. What do they got? They're down to their last 700 contestants or something?
Oh, my gosh. It just keeps going and going.
A season that never ends?
Yeah. They're down to six.
Okay.
Yeah.
They got the country music girl. She's good. Jana something?
Yeah, Jana Kramer is still in.
Kramer's in there?
Not Jana the Kramer.
Guy. Oh, from Seinfeld.
Kramer would be funny, though. That would be a good one.
And then the little gymnast?
Lori Hernandez. Mm-hmm, and then the little person, Tara Jolie, is still in there. Mary Lou is hanging on. Not for long. I think she'll be next.
I hope so. Just for the annoying factor. But we like her, I know.
She's a friend of the show. Yes. She's very sweet.
Yes, she is.
And but the only reason she's still in is because of Derek Huff, right?
Well, because she's a really good dancer, but she keeps making these really dumb mistakes. Last night, she hit Derek in the head. She just clobbered him with her elbow.
Lost her temper?
She should be off the show just for that.
No, but every week she does something really little but obvious. Like last week, she fell on her butt. I mean, she just fell.
What about race car guy?
Oh, James?
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome. He's doing great, except he lost his partner, Sharna.
Wandered off?
No, she has a knee injury, and it's bad. I mean, it could be 4 to 6 weeks. Lower body injury.
I feel bad for her, but
lower
hey.
Lower body.
Wait, I feel bad for her, but I have him in the pool, so let's go.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Andrea's got him in the pool.
I do.
Well, so doesn't it come down to the gymnast versus who? Who's going to be
James,
the other?
Well, I think it's the gymnast versus James versus Kelvin Johnson.
Oh, yeah, I like Calvin.
Calvin's phenomenal. Really good. He has really gotten good. So much better. You know, he's got these size 15 feet.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, they always kept saying, oh, his feet are getting in the way. His feet are just big, and they're all over. And
no,
now
dude's got moves.
He's kind of hiding his feet a little bit. I don't know if the pants are longer or what, but you just don't see the feet as much.
Well, and he smiles the entire time. Looks like he's
always
having a good time.
He's great. I mean, he's really doing well. They compared him to Emmitt Smith last night.
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I know you did. You were watching every minute.
Well, I watched some of it. I did.
You did not.
No, I really did.
Really?
And who got eliminated?
Lochte. Finally.
Oh, no.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
Well, now he can return to his lab work where he's breaking down DNA.
No. Yes. He's also getting married, you know. He's engaged.
Would we have time to even talk to him today? I mean, is he doing all the
I wonder if he's probably really depressed.
Brian Lochte standing by. How do you feel about being eliminated last night?
I didn't get eliminated.
Yeah, no, actually you did.
Hello?
Yeah, you're not on the show anymore.
No. They were totes just grabbing my leg, bro.
Yeah. No, no one grabbed your leg. You're actually off the show, so you shouldn't go back. It'll be awkward.
Pat Sajak told me I could come back.
No, it's not Pat Sajak.
Sajak.
It's Tom Bergeron. It's someone else.
He's short.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, yes, yeah. All right, good talking.
Do you know I'm getting married?
No, I hadn't heard that. What's
the
name?
You're getting married?
Yeah, we're gonna do it on the beach. There's water and sand.
Yeah, you like water, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I swim.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Ryan, what's 2 times 4?
12.
All right, so Mary, who's going to win?
Wow. Why do you always ask me who's going to win?
Well, because I want to know.
Say James.
I tell you, it's between the three of them. I'm just going. Okay. Lori, James, and Kelvin. Lori made a comeback this week. She had a bad couple weeks. She did pretty good this week, even though her partner cried throughout. Val was just bawling the whole time. I have no idea why.
One of the reasons that Ryan Lochte danced this far is because he actually was using GPS. Because he didn't know where to go, you know, because he stumbles and gets.
What happened to the Ryan Lochte protesters? Remember the first week they came on and they interrupted the show? Stupid.
And I heard a heckler the second week, too. But after that, I don't know. They must have some pretty good security going on.
Would you date a Donald Trump supporter? Some of you probably already are. We'll get to that coming up. It's 9:33. We'll get to the big story right after this. Hey, natural disasters such as a recent hurricane on the East Coast bring terrible devastation. What are you going to do when people come knocking on your door to say, won't you help? Won't you help them? Maybe you got the email. Won't you help the people on the East Coast who are so much less fortunate than you are? Here's the deal. You do not want to get hooked into some sort of scam. LifeLock can help prevent that. 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com. Use a promo code LIFELOCK. And you're going to save 10% off Ultimate Plus membership. That's what I have. I'm closing on a loan today. It's a line of credit. I'm buying Dave.
Oh, thank you. That's awfully nice.
I thought that he was priceless.
And go Cats.
But you know what's great is...
Oh, I thought you were buying me a line of credit.
I was buying you.
He was buying you. Oh, that's why you're priceless.
I was confused.
But what's great is with the Ultimate Plus membership, you know your credit rating the entire time. So there was never any question about, is this going to be funky in any sort of way? But you know what's weird? The three credit rating agencies, there's like a 50-point spread. Yeah. You know, it's all the same credit. So, but that's how they get you, as my father would have said. But anyway, LifeLock's getting it done for me. They can get it done for you as well. Don't get caught up in scams. Do what's right for you. Be a LifeLock member starting at $9.99 a month. We know that nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but we know nobody's better than LifeLock at 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The Wang Dang Doodle.
Wang Dang Doodle results. And then... would you date a Trump supporter? Do you know what Sapio is? S-A-P-I-O? It's called GetSapio.com, or that's the website, I should say. It's a dating app and website for intelligence and looks. They claim they combine your looks and your intelligence to match up with somebody that ain't just pretty. So, like the opposite of Tinder. I suppose you got a better chance at a relationship if that works out. So Sapio did a survey on what people would do instead of dating a Trump supporter.
It's funny. On their website, it says the only app that gets to the core of people through their lived experiences and heartfelt opinions.
So we'll get to that coming up.
Yeah.
All right. Wang Dang Doodle results. Let's go to Sandberg on this. Mary Sandberg, Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. Good morning.
Good morning.
Last time we met, it was a 5-2 Do Cares over Don't Cares lead, correct?
Correct.
What did we do this week?
The Do Cares pulled it out again.
Yeah.
All right.
Woohoo.
But we are going to switch it up.
Wow, Mary's team sucks.
Ow, ow, ow.
Like, who's going to pick first next
week? Now, you say pulled it out. Was it close?
No, actually, it wasn't.
Was it a blowout?
Yeah, they got all the top quarterbacks again.
What was the score?
Well, these scores kind of mean nothing, but 756 to 571.
That's a huge number.
Yeah, so your lead is growing.
I mean, for scores that mean nothing, it's clear that means something.
Damn, no kidding.
All right, what about the individual talents?
Individual, your mother was in 10th place.
Wow, Mom, what happened?
Yeah, I think she mailed that one in.
Yeah, no kidding, Mom. Come on.
I think you didn't call her or something, and so she wasn't happy when we had her on.
Aww,
no, it's the opposite. When I do call her, she's unhappy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
John DeCasse in 9th place.
Uh-huh.
Oh, your mom had 90 points. John DeCasse had 117.
Ha ha!
And in eighth place, Mr. Steve Cochran with 127 points.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Wait.
And if I could just point out, he had said the score was going to be 9-6. It was 31-18.
Steve, you phoned it in too.
What game was that?
The Cochran's all phoning it in last week, huh?
Had a bad week.
We still won. It's okay.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Myself in seventh place with 134.
Okay.
Dak Prescott still getting it done. I hope the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, by the way.
I don't know how you can discount the Bears at this point at 2-6.
I love the Cowboys.
Next.
Mary Vandeveld in sixth place with 138 points.
Oh, the mighty have fallen.
Dropped down.
Bennett Wakenight in fifth place with 154, yes, which might be a season high for him.
Well, it's also good because he was coming off a mugging.
Yeah, so
yeah,
he was due for something good.
Right.
In fourth place.
No, Davey was. It's factual. No, he's coming off a mugging.
No, it was. It just seems strange to throw that in there.
I'm going to take credit for this. Steve Grzanich. He got fourth place with 157. I did his picks.
Yeah, he didn't even know he was getting picks.
Yeah, he picked the Bears, and he picked 21-20, and we were close.
Just
so
ridiculous. Third?
Third place, Mr. Mike Jacobson with 163 points.
I'll take it.
Here we go.
And he picked Aaron Rodgers because his girlfriend Audrey likes Aaron Rodgers, and they got 126 points for that with the QB.
I was a little concerned, though, because Cincinnati tied.
So there was a tie last week as well. I didn't really discuss it, but since I'm the point keeper, you get 50 for a win, 0 for a loss. I give 25 for a tie.
Totally fine.
And in second place, do we know who's left here, guys?
Me, Dave Bennett and Andrea.
Oh, no.
Dave Bennett with 171
points. Go Jets.
First place, Andrea Darlis with 205.
She had Brady, right?
Oh, I don't know where this is.
Because she had the first pick.
She had Brady.
Yeah.
And he,
but let me just point out, Mary Vandeveld picked last week. Right, Mary Sandberg-Boyle?
Conference Sports Talk? Yes, correct.
Vandeveld picked first last time, and she picked Tom Brady.
Because so nobody else did.
So you
guys were all stupid.
How we pick. I picked Brady.
Who's crying?
Not you, babe. No,
all right, so
you.
We're 6-2. Do cares over don't cares. Congratulations to Andre and Dave. Nice comeback, because you've been stinking up the joint. This is a good week.
Not me.
You. No, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Dave.
I take it 1 week at a time, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're not coming off a muggy.
I'm not getting too high over this or too low.
Right.
You know what, though? Because you were in first last time. And I'm in first this time. We're kind of helping each other out.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be like a volleyball position rotation where you go from the back to the front or the front to the back.
Yeah, but we're all helping our team
out. Yeah, we're
a
team.
Okay, whatever.
There's no I in team, but there is an M and an E.
As the celebration continues.
Okay, can we get to the point of the whole thing now?
What do you mean?
So after last week when we said that if the texters said that the don't cares should pick first next week,
we got one texter who said
we did not.
We got one texter who said you guys should pick first.
You got about 10 that said we should pick first.
I
and
feel
one.
Like it was you. You were the texter that said we should pick first.
There were definitely more than one. Right. Mary Sandberg, you are on my team.
Yes.
1 million.
She's correct. There was.
See? She's, yes.
But you know how many people listen to the show?
Yeah.
Millions.
Yeah. Are you saying, Mary Vandeveld, that you do care?
I do.
All right, then we'll let you pick first.
I am starting to care. Yes!
Yeah, because the do cares, you know, you can be an honorary do care for the week. You're still captain of the don't cares, but your team can pick first.
Mary
I agree.
Cares, too.
Yeah, I care.
There we go.
Yeah, you see? That sounds so convincing.
And care, Bennett's please. Starting to care. I know he is.
You know what Sandberg cares about? Whether or not Friday's one day closer.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about Mary Sandberg Boyle Comcast Sports
I'm
that
so
caring.
Excited. Now we have a contest.
It's like the access of the earth kind of just
every week we'll that the season progresses is one less week that I'm going to be calculating these scores. So I'm
having the time of your life. Bennett, any closing thoughts?
Other than I will be picking Oakland from here on out because they're my new good luck charm.
Oh, good. So good. So how's your face?
A little better day by day.
Should I poke it?
The color's coming
in. Don't poke his face. He's coming off a mugging. It's 9:51. Bill and Wendy coming up. Is Wendy back there?
Yes.
She is? Okay. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10 on 720 WGN.
Do I look like a president? How handsome am I, right? How handsome?
Jake, what is that from? Trump telling us how handsome he is?
It's from one of the primaries. Very long time ago when there was 27 people on the stage.
Can you play it again? Do I look like a president? How handsome am I? Wow.
Do I look like a president? How handsome am I, right? How handsome?
Okay.
Guy without a mirror.
What do they say? Beauty's in the eye of the beholder? In his case?
Wow. I don't know. Look, Sapio, the dating site, getsapio.com is their website, S-A-P-I-O, surveyed a number of women and asked the women the following question. Would you rather date a Trump supporter? And then they had a question afterwards. Here are the results. Would you rather date a Trump supporter for 4 years or be single for 4 years?
Oh, you can see where this is going. I would think that they would say be single.
The answer is be single for 4 years. Well, 60% of the surveyed folks said that. Would you rather date a Trump supporter or be single forever?
Oh, being single forever is a long time.
Yeah, forever is...
Forever is forever.
It is Trump.
Oh,
67% of people said they'd rather date a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Would you rather date a Trump supporter or a complete slob that won't change?
I'm not even going to say what I was going to say.
73%. 73% said they date the Trump supporter. Can't deal with a slob.
Oh.
Would you rather date a Trump supporter or a convicted felon?
Well, you don't want to date a felon. What's the felony?
Well, maybe the felon has gotten over it.
Gotten over the crime?
It could be a rehabilitated felon.
Yeah. 63% say they'd rather date a Trump supporter than a felon.
Yeah.
So see, it's going better for him than you thought.
Exactly, yeah.
Would you rather date a Trump supporter or a convicted sex offender? My question would be, how do you know the difference?
Yeah.
Maybe you're dating Trump. 87% say they'd date a Trump supporter. How about a serial cheater? 80% say they'd date a Trump supporter.
Thank you, darling.
Would you rather date a Trump supporter or a smoker?
Oh, that's a tough one. Jeez.
51% said they'd date a smoker. Would you rather date a Trump supporter or an ex-porn star? 59% said they'd date the porn star.
This is hard. This is tough.
Would you rather date a Trump supporter or somebody 30 years older than you? Don't you have to know if they have money?
See question two.
Yeah, 62% of people said they'd rather date a Trump supporter. Would you rather date a Trump supporter or someone who doesn't get along with your family?
Oh.
55% said they'd rather date a Trump supporter. My opinion is, if you're dating a Trump supporter, they're probably not going to get along with your family, so you're creating a problem. Would you rather date a Trump supporter or somebody that lives with their parents?
Well, this is, I mean, you're talking, well, I'm hoping you're talking younger people now.
Are their parents Trump supporters too?
Is it a nice house?
62% of people say they'd rather date a Trump, or date people that live with their parents than a Trump supporter.
Wow. Even if the person's, you know, 50 plus and still living at home?
Well, then we don't have a qualifier here. Would you rather date a Trump supporter or someone with a I'm not making this up. Or someone with a contagious skin disease?
Oh, I wouldn't date someone with a, I don't think.
85% said Trump supporter. Would you rather date a Trump supporter or somebody you think is unattractive? Again, we don't know if there's money involved.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
62% say Trump supporter. Would you rather date a Trump supporter or your cousin?
Okay, really? Is your cousin a Trump supporter? No, wait.
80% said Trump supporter. And finally, would you rather date a Trump supporter or somebody who took you to a KKK barbecue?
Oh, jeez. They still have those?
81. Oh, I don't know. It's getting colder.
You know.
The weather's getting cooler. 81% say a Trump supporter. Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.
Thank you, darling.